The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
They practiced against him for years. We know what we're getting into with him. And that's it. And we move on to the next question. And it's not even a big deal. He just gives you, as he often does, the most banal, milquetoast quote, just getting his way through it. I've got to stand up here for 25 minutes.
Well, he could say something we know about Deontay. If he wanted to say, he could say, I saw somebody tweet out, he could say he's got good short area quickness. Like if he catches the ball in space, we do have to be cognizant, or he's good at getting open. He's good at getting off the line. We have to, if he's out there, we know he's somebody that can be open quickly. We have to prevent him from doing that. You know, we have to jam him or do whatever.
So at the end of the day, what is your theory for why Tomlin
doesn't like him?
Doesn't like Deontay Johnson.
I think he can excuse.
And even post trade, yes. He's seeking out chances to take little shots at him.
So I think it's boils down to this, and people could say, well, George Pickens dogged it on plays too, which would be true. But I think Tomlin can relate to a guy like Pickens, believe it or not, and appreciate Pickens more, not just because he's more talented than Deontay, but a lot of George Pickens' sins emotionally stem from, it seems like, the fact that he's hyper competitive to the nth degree.
It doesn't always manifest and show it, but I guess I hear what you're saying.
Well, like, I think like sometimes you get like the pout from him, or you had gotten it, and it's because he's not getting the ball, the classic wide receiver anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Deontay, the body language always bothered Mike, especially maybe after like they signed him to the contract, you know, maybe a year into that. I think like he does come off, and I know this because I am this guy, he comes off like an Eeyore type when he's talking about his performances, Deontay. There's just kind of a mopey quality to it. And that's, he can't but help that. That's how he talks, and that's how he kind of conducts himself,
that,
I think, naturally.
But if that's the guy's personality naturally, then why did they do business with him beyond one contract?
Because I think he was more productive, and they thought they were going to have better things ahead, and it just blew up in their face.
The quarterback situation
went bad, and I don't think they felt like he helped the situation.
Well, clearly, but that's, if that's the guy's default setting and you drafted him and re-signed him, that would be a pretty messed up thing to just still hold against him post-Steelers playing career if that's always been his M.O.
Well, I think you said something else too, though. We had a caller say something that at first I kind of smirked at, but then the longer I thought about it, the more it made sense. He was a vocal proponent of Mason Rudolph, and he turned out to be right, and Mike Tomlin probably is not happy that a vocal proponent of Mason Rudolph maybe got the better of him in an evaluation when it was already a guy he wasn't thrilled with.
Yeah.
But I think Mike does love the blood and guts football guys that view the sport on the same terms that he views it. And I don't think Deontay was ever really one of those dudes. Did you get the sense that, like, even though this guy was very talented, and obviously his career ended because of like tragedies off the field that he just could not get past, I never got the sense Mike had any kind of the same level of affection for Tuitt that he did for Hayward. Two very disruptive players on the defensive line, but Tuitt was always a different kind of dude, man. He's got his, what was that, a hamster or whatever, a gerbil?
He watched the Ravens COVID game with a hamster and I think like guaranteed victory before the game even started or something like that.
I think Mike gravitates towards the players, even within his own roster, that view the sport the way he does. You want to know why I think one of the reasons that he probably isn't, even privately, I would imagine, unhappy with Minka not doing anything for $18 million? Does any guy in that room, even including Watt, approach football more like a hardcore serious business than Minka?
So along these lines of Tomlin like speaking more maybe out of passion and emotion than out of like what coaches are supposed to sound like in these situations, I do think that rivalries can sometimes get people to let their guard down because they're so inflamed by the situation. When you're in a, when you get put in a spot that really things get ratcheted up, I think it's easier for you to kind of get out of character. And we've had people call in, and I think this is a fair argument too, like maybe it's deliberate by Tomlin to try to bait the Ravens into giving Deontay Johnson a bigger role. Like he's trying to play this game with John Harbaugh where he's hoping Harbaugh hears about this and therefore wants to make this an issue in the game. Oh, Deontay, they think you stink and can't play? Well, wait till they get a load of the package we have for you and the number of plays we're going to have you out there for on Sunday. Tomlin's trying to do one of those deals. But the other thing is, like, the rivalry, I do think, can cause people, when they're typically going to give politically correct answers, they go beyond that. Did you hear what Bechtold said about this today? I thought Austin ended up doing something. I don't know how long Starkey ran with it, but he brought something up about this game that he said he was getting a fair amount of, not more than a fair amount, he was getting skewered for it, he said. Mm-mm. He was getting tarred and feathered by listeners.
What was it?
He said he respected the Ravens more than he hates the Ravens. And he tried to, I don't know if he did this eloquently or articulated this well enough, but this is what was told to me, that he was trying to say that his the way he views them is much different from the Bengals and Browns. And not in that, not that he wants to beat the Browns and Bengals more than he does the Ravens, but he doesn't, I guess, he doesn't despise them like he does those teams.
This isn't an original thought by Bechtold, not even for this station.
So you think he's stolen it from,
no.
from you?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think he's stolen it from anybody. It's not the first time somebody has said something like that. In fact, I think you and I have probably talked about how, and Joe has definitely brought up in the past, when the Bengals had Burfict especially, it was established that there was at least a, there might be a bitter dislike and hatred in some cases for Steelers and between the Steelers and Ravens. But beneath that, there was a bedrock level of basic respect between the two teams because it was usually above board. It was just violent. And then I think it always got brought up that the Bengals were seen as cheap. Cheap shot artists, a cheap team, wannabe tough guys, and all that. I remember this stuff vividly.
Yeah.
I don't think people really even lumped the Browns in. They were so, that was back in the...
So out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, that was back in the Hugh Jackson era. People just were like, almost felt bad for them that they existed.
But then when they got good...
Well, the helmet swinging with Garrett, I think, changed that dynamic too.
And Mayfield, as much as I think now Steelers fans root for him because it makes the Browns look bad, when he would pop off and run his mouth and was a hotshot quarterback, Steelers fans hated that behavior from him. They wanted...
Well, he was enraging because he actually did get one over on them in a playoff game.
Sure.
Like, that bothered people too. But yes, he did not carry himself like, oh God, I got to go to the Browns here. He carried himself like, I am the man who will turn this franchise around, which he very briefly started to do and then stopped. But I absolutely buy the idea that there are people in this town listening to this show right now who, though they hate the Ravens, have like a weird quasi-respect for them where they don't have that or maybe didn't have that in the past for the Bengals and definitely not for the Browns. I absolutely think that's real. I don't think Bechtold's off base at all.
Because it's the Spider-Man meme and it's seeing like your reflection
and playing through,
them?
You've been through... Listen, this, it's easier when you're in the Steelers' shoes. You have gotten the better of this ultimately. You have beaten them for an AFC championship. I know they've won a Super Bowl more recently, but...
And they've been good more recently.
They
than
have you. Been. But when they've gone head-to-head, you've made half the show about this today, they have gotten the better of Jackson head-to-head recently,
yep.
really in his whole career. I think it is easier to look at the body of work these teams have put out there, what was long called the best rivalry in football, for, you know, post like Packers-Bears, really, of the modern era.
And it's probably getting back to that with
and
this game on
it
Sunday.
Looks like in a different way it's getting back to that. And I think it's easy to take in all of that and say, wow, they've given me a hell of a lot of memories. Yes, the Ravens have some of those, like Flacco winning a playoff game, but you've got the immaculate extension. You've got Santonio on the goal line in Baltimore getting the ball over by about an inch. You've got like, what, Charlie Batch beating them?
Sure. I mean,
you've got stories, man. You've got Roethlisberger's 5 touchdowns in the first half. If you're a Ravens fan, you've got Bart Scott hitting Roethlisberger harder than he's ever been hit.
The last time the Steelers and Ravens played in a playoff game, though, it was here in Baltimore 1. It's not never got one over on the Steelers.
I said they've beaten the Steelers in playoff games. They've actually won games, and I just think that because both teams have largely been very successful, it is easier to look at the whole body of work.
All right, we'll see if listeners agree with that. If Austin maybe is even tapping into something,
he's a visionary potentially,
are interested in with this matchup. It is Steelers and Ravens again. Both teams are really good. They're playing for first place. Which feeling is a stronger one in you? Respect for the Ravens? Hatred for the Ravens? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That is the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. 412-928-9370. Some calls, how you're feeling about this game. Tomlin takes later this hour what he said about Joey Porter Jr. and his penalties and PP poor game against Washington on Sunday. 412-928-9370. Let's put Nelly to work here. He's just sitting around trying to handicap games on Sunday. Let's get you in queue here and get you into the conversation on Steelers and Ravens and be one of the first to comment on this game before we really get into the frying pan later in the week. Let's do a headline and we're right back.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really cool to be in these games, not because it's them, but because they're a good team. This time of year, you want to be leaning in on five-star matchups and being a component of it. You're in five-star matchups not only because of the quality of people that you're playing, but also what you've done. We respect that component of it, and we're excited about that component of it, and we just want to continue to sharpen our sword for these battles.
Mike Tomlin there on these matchups with the Ravens. Austin Bechtold, City Limits as he goes by. On the midday show, said he was taking heat today for saying that he respects the Ravens and he hates the other teams in the AFC North. And he texted us about it and said to Chris and I off the air, no one respects the Bengals. I think that was true 10 years ago. I know right now I respect the Bengals more than I do the Ravens. I think a lot of fans in the way they talk about Joe Burrow, there's a certain level of respect there. Like, yeah, that dude is not necessarily, well, I can't even say he's not Patrick Mahomes this year. They've seen him go off against the Steelers, beat the Steelers, put up big numbers against the Steelers, win those games, go to the Super Bowl. I know this too. I get way more delight and satisfaction as a fan seeing the Ravens lose a game than I do the Bengals. Like, then to me, like, that's...
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
In terms of the hate factor, like, I think about Pitt, for example. Pitt fans say that they hate West Virginia, but when you're at Acrisure Stadium and they show scores of Penn State and West Virginia, if Penn State loses, name the number of fans there. There's 45,000 fans there. They see that score, they go bananas.
Yeah.
They see West Virginia lost to Kansas State. It's like, oh, cool. But it's not like a standing ovation in a rollicking scene.
And if West Virginia were to beat Penn State on that scoreboard, people would be going bananas.
Right. Yeah, I had Pitt fans tell me when I went to the West Virginia-Penn State game, hey, we're rooting for you on
Saturday. I would bring that up only to say that if the flip happened and it was just flashed up on the screen, Penn State beats West Virginia, there'd be booing.
Yeah.
If West Virginia beat Penn State, there would be raucous cheering.
Raucous, for sure, is a good way to describe it. So, are there guys in the Ravens rivalry over the years that I've respected? Sure. But, I mean, I think the hate is way more overpowering for me. I Burfict tried to put Steelers in the hospital. So, he's going to be at the top of list of unlikable players. But right behind him is Ray Lewis. And it's not like Ray was a dirty player. He just was involved in something away from football, where a man ended up dead.
Two. No,
I think it was one.
No, it was one. You're right.
And his white suit from that night went missing.
Never found. No, I think it was two people.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
It was.
Oh, well, then you were right.
You know what I hated about Ray Lewis?
He was overrated, too.
It was the Dan. Oh, I. You know what I really hated? I agree with Austin's fundamental point. No, the fact that everyone just went along with he is such an inspiration and a leader. He's like a motivational speaker mixed with a preacher.
Oh,
what an
elder
statesman!
Put a sock in that.
I always wondered, like, not to even use this as like a sports talk argument. If you were the families of either of the two men who lost their lives that night, how could you even watch ESPN if you were a football fan seeing that garbage?
I'm going to put something out there, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on Pittsburgh Sports Radio. I actually believe this. If I were doing, in the conversation of inside linebackers came up, and I was working in another market, or I was on, back in the day, CBS Sports Radio, and this came up, I would say the same exact thing, or on the podcast with Pat. I think James Ferrier was a better inside linebacker than Ray Lewis. And Ray just had like the intangible leadership, and he's such an inspirational, motivational player. I actually think between the white lines, Ferrier was better than Lewis.
I'm
just going to leave that there.
They didn't quite play the same positions, but you know, I've always said Derrick Brooks was the best off-ball backer of that generation.
I'm just going to put that right out there and let that marinate.
In Ray's absolute heyday in prime, which I would say ended around 04, like basically when his 20s ended, how many of those years, like the two defensive player of the years, he was getting top five MVP votes one year. How many of those years did he have just awesome defensive linemen in front
of him? That's exactly right. It's, to me,
most of these guys do if they're really good at that position, but he was an undersized middle linebacker.
Exactly.
And if you could get hands on him, you could move him.
Oh, yes. It was like, okay, Ken Dorsey can look really good at Miami when he's got 10 pros and he's handing the ball off to two or three NFL running backs, and the wide receivers he's playing with are NFL dudes. Okay? He was in a great defense. And to me, he did not stand out. He made routine plays. Congratulations on all your success. Great player, in my opinion.
They only started charting tackles for loss on Pro Football Reference in 99. In those first 3 years they did it, 99 through 01, 19, 14, and 13, he only had 1 year the rest of his career where he registered double-digit tackles
for loss. Way overblown as a player. Way overrated. Here's Justin on the fan. Hello, Justin.
What's up, fellas? First time calling in. Thanks for taking me.
Oh, great. Do it more often, Justin. What do you got for us?
It's funny. I have this conversation with my buddies. I grew up hating the Ravens. I'm 34. I hated all the divisional teams. But as I got older and a better football fan, I guess, I just respect them differently than the other teams. They just have a model of success. I like the way they approach each game. They're tough. I freaking hate the Browns. What a dumpster fire franchise. They can't get out of their own way.
I love the Browns because the way things end up going,
hundreds of millions of dollars guaranteed to be one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen. Sure. I don't wish any ill will on any man, but that guy got everything he deserved.
I agree with that. Thank you, Justin. Call back
again. Do you hate the Browns, though, if they're like so incompetent that in theory you should beat them twice a year? That you almost want a team like that to stay that clueless.
I did because of the Steelers playoff loss to them and how so many Browns fans got on high horses. The fact that the pendulum has gone back and swung back to you're a laughingstock franchise. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. So I do have renewed vigor in disliking them. But what I was going to say to Justin was, to your point, do Cardinals or Cubs fans hate the Pirates?
No, I think they're like, that's why like you'll see like Cardinals fans saluting Paul Skeens because they're like, oh, you can have
something
nice.
Cute little Pirates, exactly.
The other thing about the Browns is my favorite offensive player on their team is a completely unhateable person, Nick Chubb.
I agree with you. I had a conversation with somebody at the gym about that. I actually like Nick
if that
Chubb.
Guy was a Steeler, he would be massively popular.
And we gave him a standing ovation when he got carted off the field and for good reason because we're all class here. Here's Phil in West Mifflin. Hello, Phil.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going today?
We're good.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what Justin said earlier. I'm 38, so watching the Ravens Steelers over the years, definitely been a rivalry, had much more hatred for them in the earlier part of my life. Now that Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, all these Hall of Famers, I mean, I think Ray Lewis, as much as he has the history outside, off the field, he was, two times the Defensive Player of the Year. I think Ed Reed might have even got one of those. So the hatred for them was just because they were strong, they were similar to Pittsburgh, they were competitive. And as they kind of aged out, more respect for the organization came because they kind of adjusted a lot faster, put more pieces into place, and have been a little bit more successful than Pittsburgh up until this point.
Okay, so, I'm shocked to hear people tip their cap like this.
I never hated Ed Reed, though. That's the problem. Again, I think when I hated the Ravens, it was almost exclusively because of Ray Lewis. I didn't even hate Terrell Suggs, Ball So Hard University. You know why? Because he would occasionally, do the Mario Kart slip on a banana peel and play poorly and, have something bad happen to
him. The only redeeming qualities about that, guys, for me, is that once in a while when the Steelers were already knocked out of the playoffs and they played New England, they would get to those guys. And I liked that about him, but that was really it. No,
were you ever jealous of the Ravens because they could do that,
sure,
which the Steelers could not in
yes,
that case?
Absolutely. I'm man enough to admit
little
that.
Little jealousy?
I'm all man
over. Who sang
here.
The song, Hey Jealousy? Big hit in the 90s.
The Gin Blossoms?
You're just a font of weird, random knowledge.
Am I right?
Yes.
Let's go. I pulled that one out of my rear end.
You really did.
Here's Phil in New Kensington. Two Phils in a row. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I have a brother-in-law named Phil. I'm guessing you're not him?
I'm not him, no.
Now, okay. If your call ends up not going well, I'm going to say something like, we've had our fills of Phil, Malzy.
There you go.
What do you got for us?
So, I have a hatred and a respect for the team. Honestly, I respect the hard nose, tough hitting fight to the death that team has that matches the Steelers pretty well. Evenly fought match most of the time. I hate how it's always a close game. I can never turn it off.
Well, why would you ever want to turn it? Why would you ever want to turn off a Steelers Ravens game at halftime under any circumstances?
No, he's talking about the way his blood pressure rises, the anxiety that comes with it, that kind
exactly.
of.
Isn't that part?
And it's,
serious
and it's
question,
always,
Phil. Isn't that part of the fun of being a sports fan?
Yes, but it's fun when it's over and you win. But when you're going through it, it's not fun.
Exactly. It's fun at the end, but I.
Do you have a family member, Phil, that can't watch the games when they're happening, that is a big fan, but just says, tell me what happens?
Isn't your mom like that,
Yes,
Malzy?
I do.
My mom would, now it was for Browns games,
thank
but
you,
then
Phil.
She would claim it was also for the Steelers. She would say, just tell me how it ends. I'm downstairs grading papers back when she was teaching. She couldn't watch.
More of your thoughts on this. Little Austin, who Johnny the Barber said there needed to be a foundation. What was the foundation called?
The Austin V Foundation.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Austin said today, more respect for the Ravens than hate. And I am stunned by the amount of people that have called in so far to agree with
that. I
think
it's a good take from Austin.
412-928-9370. Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Also, more Tomlin takes, including, did he take a shot at Ben Roethlisberger today when complimenting Russell Wilson? We'll let you hear that, but first a headline.
We're always working to be clean. Last week was last week. He's done an awesome job for the totality of the season. And so usually it takes two to make a pattern for me before I get active. And so I'm not going to overreact to last week.
Tomlin takes. We give you a couple of sound bites from Mike Tomlin. He goes on and blathers on for almost a half hour every Tuesday. We air it live. There are great moments. We've talked about some of them. There are also some ones that cause you to want to take a nap. And so we condense it down and give you some of the highlights. That was him on Joey Porter Jr. I know Joey Porter Jr. has popped up here as a concern among Steelers fans. And I actually almost agree verbatim with what Tomlin said. It's on my radar because it was the knock on him coming out of Penn State. Too many penalties and not enough interceptions. And it reared its ugly head against Washington. And I'm going to say, hey, you match up with the other team's number one wide receiver 10 times in a season, you're not going to win every week, and McLaurin is really good. But if it keeps happening, then something's got to be done about it. So he gets another tough assignment. Zay Flowers is not an elite wide receiver, but he's a legit number one.
He's a make-you-miss guy in space. He's shifty. I think
that's the kind of guy that gives Joey Porter Jr. headaches.
Porter's bigger. He's a taller guy, and Zay Flowers is, what, 5'9"?
So he's going to want to get handsy with him, probably.
Well, I think Zay Flowers is going to do stuff getting off the line of scrimmage that's going to almost, as a reflex, cause Porter to grab. Like, I don't really like the matchup at all.
I think Joey Porter Jr., and this is, like, not a great position to take on something, he's pretty much met my expectations this year. I'm not thrilled with how he's played. I'm not disappointed with how he's played. If we were doing a job review, I would say, hey,
competent.
You're doing what we ask of you. Like, I would not be overwhelmingly. I would not like try to make him feel like we're so in love with the way he's playing. I also would not want to overdo it with critiques and criticism. But I think he's done.
In the two games they've
fine
lost,
job.
Has he gotten victimized badly? Did Pittman get him in that Indy game? Was he on Pittman?
Downs had a big game.
Didn't he drop two interceptions in the Colts game?
He did,
he had chances at two of them. So that's one game where I felt like he not play well. Like, and to the point where I would say, like, and it hurt
them
badly.
The Dallas game, they took CeeDee Lamb away.
He did.
And they lost because guys like Rico Dowdle and
Jalen Tolbert got hit in the nuts with a football and then came right back in a Willis Reed-like entrance back into the game.
A Landon Roberts show with Donnie at 6. Get back to your calls on this fascinating conversation about now we're being inundated with Steelers fans who say they actually respect the Ravens and don't hate them at 412-928-9370. I do want you guys to hear this, though. Mike Tomlin here talking about what Russell Wilson has done through three games, and I think I detect him taking a little shot at Ben. He took a big shot at Deontay. I think there's a little shot at Roethlisberger in this answer.
He's still writing that story. There were a myriad of reasons why I had the posture that I had, his resume being a component of it, his experience, and I thought his experience could be an asset to our unit and our team, and that's played out. His talents, his appetite for big moments, and I think that's played out some, but there's a myriad of reasons, and I just think it'll be continually revealed because of the circumstances that he and we will be in. I'm excited about facing those things with him, and I'm excited about him, quite frankly, getting better. You know, he has had an appetite for getting better. Arthur Smith and those guys have done a really good job in terms of challenging him and getting him better. And so there's a get better component of this discussion as well, and one that I'm excited about discovering regarding him. Sometimes, man, you see guys that's been around as long as he has or has the type of resume that he has, they're somewhat resistant to new things or critiques and things of that nature, avenues in which men get better, and he's not resistant to any of those things, and that makes it fun as well.
There's literally no other quarterback who, when making that last point about, hey, sometimes you're around guys who have a resume like this and they're resistant to change. The only analog is Ben. Who else could he possibly be talking about there?
Aaron Rodgers?
But that would be him
talking about somebody else's. Yes, he would not talk about somebody else's player or mean it like that, I would think.
Because I think it's another rare moment of honesty from Tomlin where that was the knock on Ben. Now, I think Roethlisberger ultimately was right. Like, I shouldn't have to learn Matt Canada's offense because this guy's a nincompoop. This is, you're setting me up to fail in my last season here. But still, I mean, he was resistant to doing it Canada's way. And Russell Wilson is not saying to Arthur Smith, hey, this is how I did it in Seattle, and this is how I won in Seattle.
I've read stuff suggesting that they have actually, now I forget who wrote this, so I feel bad.
Was it Ben Solak? You've been telling me about some of his...
It wasn't Solak. It was
his articles.
It was
today.
Like a Jeremy Fowler or somebody, an insider, right, who's got access and who's getting this from people clearly. Not somebody even necessarily watching the film, I don't think, and inferring this. They said that the Steelers have actually taken away stuff that Russ likes, but that they have convinced him he's not like as good at as his liking it. You know what I mean? Like, I like running these plays. I'm comfortable, but they've more or less proven to him it's not getting good enough results. So they've streamlined it into, this is what we all agree you do really well, and just kept, you know, spamming that button. Like, if it was a video game, I'm going to keep doing the same thing till you stop it.
I give an old dog credit then for learning new tricks, or well, at least being able to evolve.
No, it sounds more like
adapt.
The old dog, if what I'm reading about this has been right, the old dog was willing to put his ego aside and say, I like doing this, but if you guys have convinced me that it doesn't work as well as I think it does,
yeah,
then we don't have to keep doing it.
Here is McCain in Brockway. I don't think McCain has called us before. Hello, McCain.
I called in years ago.
Oh, it's good to have you back, McCain.
I love the show. You guys are a great pairing.
Thank you.
I hope you guys stay together for a long, long time. I just had a quick thing on the whole Lamar Jackson thing that
Sure. Neither
of you guys really brought up, and I'm kind of surprised. I just think T.J. Watt is his kryptonite.
Mm.
That guy, you know, almost single-handedly shut him down in several games. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's 11 guys on the field.
Sure.
But, you know, I think when you have the best defensive player in the league, that could be a big circle of like, maybe that's why the Steelers have done so well against him.
And to your point, McCain, I do think going back to the Harbaugh versus Tomlin matchup, I think there's a little bit of hubris on Harbaugh's part to not feel like they need to devise an offensive game plan that's all about neutralizing Watt. It's a lot of like, okay, we trust our tackle to get the job done here. We don't need to chip the whole game. We don't need to double team the whole game. We don't want our tight ends blocking. We want our tight ends catching balls downfield involved in our passing game.
TJ Watt has played, let me see here, Pony, four, something like 10 games, no, 12 games, I think it is, against the Ravens. He's gotten at least a half sack in all but two of his matchups with them.
It's pretty good.
That is very good. I would say one thing about that point. He is the kind of edge rusher, I would think, who would give Lamar more problems than most, only because he's not a super big, bulky guy compared to some of those dudes. He's kind of lanky. He's very fast. Limbs everywhere.
Lanky. I'm surprised to hear lanky get thrown around with Watt.
You don't think he's kind of a lanky guy?
As a lanky guy myself, I don't see lank in Watt.
6'4", 250. That's not lanky?
I see
Preston Smith, 6'5", about 270.
I see beef.
Beef?
I see solid.
What fast food company had the Where's the Beef ads?
Arby's.
No.
Damn it.
No, theirs is that they have the meats. This was an old grandma saying, where's the beef?
Burger King?
Yeah. 0-2. They had that creepy little king guy. It was Wendy.
Dave Thomas, RIP, right?
He's been Square Burgers, though. I mean, what a way to...
Love him.
What a way to just absolutely establish yourself, plant your flag in the market.
Hodgepodge coming up, and then stay tuned for the very popular Landon Roberts show as he gives you an inside peek of what the Steelers are preparing to do against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 31 degrees. We'll be right back.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.